They can't hang with the pimp thing. They can't hang with the pimp thing. They can't hang with the pimp thing.
You quicker than pimp in the dead. When niggas,
it's
you know
how the pimp play a kick and knowledge like a pimp. Still standing on the track, still walking with a limp. Counting cash from the pimp and dope sales and such and such. Buses tend to run and step them, let them know I'm just too much. Underestimate my size, think you made a big mistake. See you messing with the real tree or tricking you a fake. Ain't no lying about my penis, cause my penis is what's true. Spread my hustle out of boom, make my cheese, I thought you knew. How you figure that the shot of pimp go guard like a buster? You still got plenty dope, but look at me, I'm just a hustler.
Hello out there. Welcome back to the VMP Anthology Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Winnestorfer, here bringing you the story of Memphis rap alongside Tori McAdams, who did all of the interviews in Memphis with a bunch of these artists. On this episode, our second of the season, we hear from Shawty Pimp. Tori sat down and had a free-ranging conversation with Shawty, and they cover everything. They cover the album he made with MC Spade, which is in this box. They talk about Shawty going to college for music business, talk about what it was like to try to make a music career from a city like Memphis in the 90s in a pre-internet world, and whether or not the music he made as a teenager, if he ever thought that anybody outside of Memphis would ever hear it. We also hear about how he thinks that his music career is really just starting now, 30 years in. So like we did with the Mr. Z interview and like we will do later in this season, we really wanted to just get out of the way and let you hear directly from these artists. These are not artists who get interviewed very often or get to have their voice heard in this way. And so we really did as little editing as we could and as little trimming as we could. We just want you to hear what it was like for Tori to sit down and talk to these artists. So without further ado, here's Tori and Shawty.
Sweating up on a bitch, kicking it, pimping, letting her know what's up. Say she wanna get in Spain, but I don't just give a fuck. Let her know I'm about this pimping and I'm making hoes pay. Pop that question on her and she say she down anyway. Long as one of them hoes that you can trust a woman, shoot my game. Get in her head, tell her I love her, make her make my money, man. When you get with me, then bitch, you gotta work them city streets. Slang that ass, get my cash, yeah, ho, make my ends meet. Pimping is my business and my business make my pockets thick. I got hoes all over the world cause I make and take a bitch. Make my money, ho, don't complain about you came up show. I might have to do something bad, then I end up.
Have you been working with Spade at all?
Yeah, we working on some new stuff, man. You know, Spade stay out of town at the moment, so. Yeah, we always in contact with each other, but we definitely working on some, you know, we got a 30-year anniversary coming up on the first mixtape.
Really?
Yeah, 2024, so we got a new project I'm working on, getting ready for 2024 with me and Spade.
You said, I think you told me a while back that Spade lives in New Jersey?
No, he in Arkansas.
Oh.
Arkansas. Nah, he ain't too far away.
No, that's much closer. How did you meet him?
Man, we met at school, man. We met in junior high school. Havenview in Memphis. One of my homeboys I was close with knew I was into the music and stuff, and he said, man, he had somebody for me that was pretty that could rap pretty good, and brought me Spade, and man, we've been rocking it since.
What was your first impression of him?
Probably, man, one of the coldest rappers that came out of Memphis. He just had that special flow about him. He had the voice, and you know, he was pretty much top of the food chain when it comes to writing raps and you know, the style he had.
Was he the first rapper you worked with?
No. He was like the first. I wouldn't say the first. Well, let me see. That's a good question. No, I wouldn't say that because. No, I did raps, you know, before I met Spade. You know, my guy Roy Jeans, we did some little music, some little raps. So, I wouldn't say he was the first one.
Did you guys record everything in your bedroom?
As far as those early Shawty Pimp tapes, yeah, absolutely.
what was like the process? He would just come over to the house and you guys would knock it out, or?
Man, well, our process was a little different because I didn't have a four track at the time, so we basically had to record everything live. So we would, you know, we would get out of school and come back to the house, and whatever I made that day, that's what we recorded. whatever was sampled that day, or you know, whatever beat I made that day, we would write to it right down on the spot and record it.
Can I ask if he had any input on the samples, or he just left all that stuff to you?
Yeah, he left all that to me. He didn't really. Yeah, he just was. He was tunnel vision when it came to writing raps. He didn't care too much about the production. You know, he let me handle all that.
Did your parents ever trip off you scratching up the records?
I mean, I mean, my dad, he had mentioned, like, man, I'm being there scratching up my records, man. But nah, he didn't really care about it. He didn't really care too much, man. You know how it is when you got your records, your record collection, and he your son is all in your record collection and back there playing records, man. But I really went into the DJing side of the record and scratching and stuff. So it really wasn't run the scratching. It was just more so just going through records and trying to find what I wanted to sound. So he didn't have to worry about all the scratching of his records. But he made little comments like, man, don't be in there scratching on my records and stuff like that.
They were kind of just happy you were at home doing something productive, right?
Right. Yeah, that was just, as long as I was there, I would stay out of trouble. You know, it kept me out of trouble somewhat. And they was cool with it. They didn't have no problems, no issues with it. You know, we weren't in there fighting and, you know, all that old kind of stuff. We were just doing music. You know, I go in there, we go in there and close the door, and they wouldn't bother.
Did you know Spade's family well?
I did.
Does he come from like a musical background at all?
Well, you know, his uncle is was a member of the Bar K's, Larry Dodson.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah, he came from a music background.
You said you went over to Dodson's house a few times, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you still have any relationship with him?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. You know, his son, actually, Lil Larry, which is, you know, Spade's cousin. So, yeah, we still communicate. We still talk. We still talk and keep in contact. You'll probably hear a Shout to Pimp MC Spade and a Larry Dodson song. One day, you know, when we lock in, get that taken care of. We've been talking about it. It's just a matter of getting the right music together and collabing and making it happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happened one day. Don't be surprised.
You and Spade kind of stopped making music together when you went off to college, right?
No, this was before college, man. This was like...
No, I said like you stopped when you went off to college.
No. We never stopped. Necessarily stop. Man, I got projects from, I think the last tape that I made was like '96. And then we started going in the studios in like '98. You know, I went out to college like '95. So I would always come back home. You know, I would always come back home every weekend and stuff like that. So 98, you know, or come home for the summertime, we'll go book some studio time and still record records. So I got a group too, you know, the Hype Unit. So I would come home. Mm-hmm. I got about three Hype Unit projects from like 98 to like 04, 06. I got a Spade project that no one's heard that we recorded in like 01, between 01 and 03, just a compilation of songs. So then I actually put a project out, but it's we was using a different name at that time, M19 Spade Nasty. So those particular projects never really made it to the YouTubes and stuff like that. So that's the stuff I'm in here working on now to figure out how I'm gonna upload all this material. So it's almost like still having new songs, really.
Did Spade ever work with other producers?
Well, not on a, he'll jump on a couple beats here and there with other producers, but Now Spade, I always feel like, man, he always let me run that department as far as his production.
Why do you think that was?
Trust. He trusted in me, man. He trusted in my ear for music. Just trust and loyalty. Got to say that. Got trust and loyalty, you know.
Did they want to be a rapper, do you think, or it was just like kind of a hobby for him?
I would say, man, it was kind of more so, I would give it a 50-50. It was a hobby, but at the same time, he knew he was good at it, and he knew, ain't too many people that can rock like he rocked. But it definitely was at a point a real good hobby, though. It was just something he was good at, man. You know, when you're good at something, man, it's hard to step out of that.
Yeah.
It just came natural to him, you know what I'm saying?
Did you sell those tapes at, like, Car Toys, or did you just sell them, like, at school?
Car Toys was one of the outlets in school. That was pretty much my two biggest outlets. School and Car Tours. We definitely was working Car Tours. But I never really stepped outside of Car Tours, man. Just for the simple fact, we didn't understand the marketing and promotion. It was for fun at first. It was just a hobby to grab a few dollars. So we really didn't spread it out like we should have. Because we didn't have no problem with the marketing department. We was all rappers and fans of rap music and just learning how to make music and make beats.
How much would you charge Car Toys to wholesale tapes? Like, how much per tape?
I think Car Toys were paying us either $3 to $5 a tape. Something like that. I think it was like $3 to $5 a tape. And he would double the price of, resell them at a double price or something. I think it was like $3, $3.50 or something like that.
Did you end up interning at, like, Selecto?
I did. I did an intern at Selecto with James Alexander of the Barcades as well.
That was high school or college?
That was college. That was, like, my last... That was, like, 2000. That was, like... Yeah, like, the year 2000. I did an intern. So it was a situation where that's all I had to do to get my, to graduate. So my last semester or so was at Selecto. He sponging off James Alexander. But at that time, man, that's when things was getting ready to start changing. That's when starting to change a little bit.
Like, what did you notice changing at Selecto Hits?
Well, things was starting to, lean towards digital. Things was heading towards the digital age, Napster and all that stuff. So you probably wouldn't need as many street teams and stuff. You saw stuff like that kind of change.
Did you think the internship was educational in any meaningful way?
Oh, I did. I learned some things. I learned a part of the business that I didn't, that you don't really learn unless you hands on. So it gave me a hands-on outlet with that intern.
This episode of the Memphis Rap Anthology Podcast is brought to you by the VMP Discord server. Looking for a place to interact with other VMP members and with VMP staffers? Want to stay up to date with what's happening in the store and in Record of the Month? Want to debate about which Essentials release is the best ever? Head to the VMP Discord. Anyone can sign up at discord.gg/vinylmeplease. Every quarter, our staff does an AMA that's private to Discord members, and you can ask VMP whatever you'd like in real time. Sign up now at discord.gg/vinylmeplease. And now, back to the show.
Did you ever try getting a deal with, like, SOH, or were they still doing Basics at that time, or was Basics gone?
Man, you know what? We really weren't even thinking about a deal, man. You got to realize, man, at that time, you had to have managers, and you needed a real budget, and these videos was very expensive. So we really didn't really, really weren't thinking about no deals and, you know, stuff like that. We were just, you know, just doing it ourselves. And, you know, if somebody was interested in us, we'd be open to it. But we wasn't really focused on trying to get a deal. We really didn't care. We was going to do it our way regardless, you know. So, and during that time, that's when 3-6 was really running things, because they wanted you to sound like 3-6. Everybody wanted you to sound like 3-6 at that time. So, and then that was a time where I was kind of, you know what I'm saying, trying out different sounds. And like I said, I was using a different name. So the type of music I was doing, you know, Memphis wasn't going to catch on to it right off. So, you know, we were just kind of sitting like, in a sense, I mean, we kind of just stuck here in Memphis, you know what I mean? Now, we weren't really focused on those deals and, you know, stuff like that, man.
Who were some of the rappers you were listening to when you were in high school?
We were listening to everything, man. Of course, all the Memphis rappers, Texas rappers, California. We were bumping some of everything, man. But as far as out of Memphis, we listened to a lot of Ball and G. We listened to... You know, of course, we were bumping the DJ Pauls and the Squeakies and, you know, the Skinny Pimps. Of course, we was bumping the Outkast and the Goody Mobs and the Point Blanks and the K-Renos out of Texas. So we was listening to some of everything, really.
Rap-A-Lot was really popular in Memphis, right?
Yeah, exactly. Rap-A-Lot, you know, Scarface, the Ghetto Boys. Yeah, we was heavy on all that.
Was Rap-A-Lot kind of the first Southern rap a lot of people heard of your generation?
Yeah, Rap-A-Lot was. Yeah, Rap-A-Lot pretty much the grandfathers of the rap labels, and you know, coming up, you know, in front of the, your No Limits and your Cash Monies and your you know, your Hypnotized Minds and, you know, stuff like that.
You got your degree in music business, right?
Right. Mass communication.
Did you think you were gonna end up in the music business long term?
Well, I was definitely planning for it. I was definitely planning for it. Even, you know, I had to figure out a way for me to go to school. I don't really, you know, that's why I ended up getting a music business degree, because I don't know what else I would have went to school for.
Mm-hmm.
So once I found out it was a program, you know, down in Tennessee at this school, MTSU, I mean, that was something I was interested in, you know, because coming from where I came from, we didn't know nothing about the business.
Right.
We didn't know nothing about the business side of it. So I took that as a, you know, something that I needed to do. You know, I got to learn the business. So I really believe that if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't win the school if it wasn't for the music business. Because that's, you know what I'm saying, I don't know what I would went to school with for, other than this.
What did you end up doing after college?
After college, came back home after college, and all the guys that I was rapping with before I went off, we kind of had this house studio. I came back at this house. We had a house studio. I came back, set up my studio. And, man, when I tell you, that's just, we was just doing music all the time, man. And, we probably recorded about six, seven albums during that time. So when I got out from, like,
really?
You know, 2000 to 06, we probably recorded like six, seven albums. So we were just putting in work.
Were you working a full-time job at the same time?
I worked a little bit. Let me see, man. Was I working during that time, man? I was working a little odd jobs. I didn't really start working a full time, like really locked in on a full time job until like 06, 07. I graduated 2000, man. It was pretty much part of time, man. It was pretty much just music, just kicking it, hustling. It was that's pretty much was it for like 5-6 years straight.
What made you change?
Oh, man, you know, you just mature, man. You just get older, and, you know. My daughter was growing up at the time. You know, I had a young daughter. So just aging, man. It's just growing up, just maturing. You can't do the same thing for health.
Is there anything you would change about your career?
Anything I would change? anything I would change. That's a lot, absolutely. I'm sure there's a lot of things I'd change. I would probably not hang around Memphis as much as I did if I had to redo one little thing, I would probably maneuver outside of Memphis a little more.
Where else would you have gone or wanted to go?
I probably would have been in New York or Atlanta or somewhere, you know, California perhaps, you know, just not necessarily in one spot, but probably in Atlanta for a while and go try New York for a while and, you know, come out, try Cali for a while. It just depends, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to Lil Sed yesterday, and Sed's career kind of got going when he relocated to Atlanta as well, actually. He also felt like he needed to get out of Memphis just because it was too crazy.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of distractions, man. And it's you know, Memphis, man, I love Memphis, but it's just, you know, this where your family and friends at, and it's just a lot of distractions, man. It's a lot going on. Just a lot of distractions, man. And, you know, in this type of business, man, you got to cut some distractions out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get distracted.
Did you think that your music or the music that you made when you were a teenager would ever get rediscovered? Or did you think that was just kind of gone?
Man, we thought that shit was over with. That's why the name changed. If it was up to me, I would have forgot all about them mixtapes, to be quite frank with you. But we always knew we was dope. And if you get us in the right situation or with the right business marriage with somebody, man, because we always felt like we needed a team, man, or some people to help us out. We always felt like if we had the right situation, man, couldn't nobody fuck with us. Couldn't nobody, you know, can't do what we do. And we still feel that way. You know, we still feel that way. But we never did think, I never thought that the way these tapes or these mixtapes has reached people. I buried them tapes.
Mm-hmm.
I buried them tapes. It's a lot of them tapes. I recorded shit over on them tapes. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But we always felt like we was good. We was good what we do, but we never really went into big studios and did big mix jobs and all this stuff, man. Had a real marketing and promo plan, or had a management team behind us that can sit down with me and we put a plan together. It's always up to us, really up to me, in a sense. And, you know, that's a lot of work. You know, that's a lot of work when you're trying to maintain the music side, too. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know. It's amazing, man, because it really feel like my music career really just started. Because if y'all going back pulling up all these mixtapes, and these mixtapes really didn't start, I've only released a few of them on the platforms. I've only released a few of them, and the numbers are still going up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's feel funny, man. It kind of feel funny because it's like, you know. You know, I know a lot of you know, rappers and stuff. They get my age, man. They read, it's over with. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's shut down. And for me, it's feeling like it's just getting started. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just getting started, man. So I'm like, you know, I ain't even scratched the surface. What my next plans, what I want to do. But I'm here for it though, man. That's why I say next year, man. I plan to do some big things for next year. Step out this conference hall, man, and do some bigger things. So, but no, man, never thought this would happen. Never.
Do you know how your music ended up on the internet? Like was it just some random person?
Right. I don't know who did it, you know what I'm saying? It may be somebody I know personally that just won't tell me, you know. But, but I appreciate it. I'm cool. You know, I appreciate it, man. This going to YouTube, you know, just upload, you know, mixtapes and, you know, stuff on their channels and stuff.
How many tapes do you think you sold back in the day?
Man, none. Hell, I would say out of all them tapes, man, I would probably press up. We would probably press up, when we first started, we probably press up 50 of those, and we'll work our way up to 100. Then we'll work up to 150. 200. So, oh, man, it was very limited. Very limited, man.
That's and pretty crazy that stuff survived.
It's beyond crazy. It's crazy, man. And it's people know, and it's a catalog, right? So people know the catalog, man. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got to realize, we didn't have covers. We didn't have no covers to these mixtapes. Man, so, and like I said, they weren't recorded in no real studio. You know, I kind of created my own studio with a tape deck and a mic.
Right.
Yeah, man, it kind of blows my mind at times, man, it does.
All these hoes keep hoeing for MC Spade, cause they knowin' gotta get my player, cause Pippin keep these hoes going 9 times out of 10. A hoe gon' try to get your whip, but you gotta be smart, that's all a part of being a pimp. Play a hoe to the curb until I get my pockets back. Never talk to them hoes, let her discover you a Mac. If you get in the clique, don't let her think that you be slipping. Can't none of these hoes get out with MC Spade Pippin. So back the fuck up, give me some breathing room, hoe. You thought I was lame, now I let your ass know that I be the pimp and you the hoe to make my cheese. You want some player, think that you got it, nigga, please. I got what it takes to put these bitches on the street, cause pimpin' is money and money make my ends meet. A message to hoes, I'ma take it, then I'm gone. A lesson to learn, I gotta get my pimp on. Shout out to Pimp
Spirit. This season of the VMP Anthology Podcast is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Winnestorfer. All interviews were conducted by Tori McAdams, who is a producer on this box and wrote the listening notes booklet as well. This season is produced and edited by Sydney Berliner. A special thanks to Tori for doing the interviews and for all of our guests for sitting for them. And a special thanks to our friends over at Now Again Records for spearheading this box and for partnering with us on it. And before we go, a reminder, listen to more Shawty Pimp. Home, got the mind of a player, gotta get my pimp on.